On this episode, we go over the most important key points for each course on the second semester, plus some useful stories which happen around this time that will most likely help you out in college.
The Computer Science Software Engineering College Courses Review Podcast, where we describe the core courses that all aspiring computer scientists and software engineers should take on their college path. And now your host, Andres Arriaga.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the CSSE College Courses Review Podcast. We're having this last transitional episode to top things off on the second season, or should I say the second semester. And now, one of the most interesting things about this semester is that in my university, this semester is known as the Semester of Death. And why is that? Well, it's because there are three programming courses at the same time. Yeah, there's the Object-Oriented Programming course, the Data Structures, and the Computer Architectures course. Usually, a programming course will have you complete programming projects, which of course will demand a big amount of time from you. Having that said, three of those courses piled up together in this semester is just everything but easy. This creates sort of like a barrier for most freshmen, a barrier that determines if you really want to continue studying this or not. And in my opinion, that is a very good thing, because you're giving a very valuable piece of information that might hurt, yes, at that time, but it'll direct you to the correct path in life. If you failed and you still want to pursue the major, that is a really great indicative. Have a persistence and you'll get through the courses the second time around no problem. And more than just a place where you can get information about techie stuff and such, I want you to know that there is another person in this world that has gone through a lot of hard stuff in college as well, and he just wants to understand you, and he wants to help you as much as possible, and that person is me. Okay, I'll let you know that. Since this episode is a semester review, it has a different format than the other episodes. So to start things off, I want to lay out some key points we're going to talk about today. The first four will be about the courses themselves, important things to get away from them, and my personal tips regarding each one of them. And of course, some useful story for each one. Okay, so without further ado, let's begin with object-oriented programming. Okay, the first thing we learned in object-oriented programming was how to deal with fear in a programming project. With this, I mean, how do you deal with a huge problem which seems like a giant monster that you have no idea how to solve? Well, I always have this kind of fear when my professors design a new project, but my personal advice for you is to, number one, start early as heck. Start early, guys. If you start the first day on day zero, day one, whatever, you'll have way too much time to complete the whole thing. You'll have more assurance, peace of mind, you'll feel more responsible, and that way you'll have more time for number two, which means checkpoints. Checkpoints. Create small but productive checkpoints, which will allow you to check your work up till that point. Make sure it all compiles, and then you can be sure that bugs that you encounter later on are because of new things that you add up, not because of the past things that you did, because you already know that that's all good. This will shorten the debug time considerably, and it'll give you an amazing sense of confidence because of the clear amounts of work being done. It motivates you to continue, and it chips away that huge monster of a problem piece by piece, making it not scary at all. And it gives you dominion over the whole thing overall at the end. Okay? Afterwards, we talked about the importance of team building, and that involves choosing a good partner or partners to complete a project. There are three things you should look out for in a good team. Number one is loyalty. With this, I mean that they are noble, they will not ditch you, and they will not leave you hanging when times are hard. This means that they're people with integrity, with loyalty, with honesty, that'll stay by your side, and that will see this as a team work, team effort, meaning that they're not trying to secure their own butts, but they're trying to secure the whole team's butts, okay? Second is teamwork skills, and soft skills are included in this one. Means that people are able to communicate correctly. That's the most important thing about this point, and I'll talk about this more later on in the second section of data structures. But for now, know that it's vital to communicate ideas, communicate progress, communicate problems, questions. If you don't communicate, the team is dead. And if it's dead, you can't do anything, actually. If you communicate, that's the key to a good team progress in a project. It's communication. It's updates, you know. It's getting everybody on the same page of what we're doing so that we can all go towards the same goal. Okay, number three, competence. It's all good and well if, you know, the team is loyal and if the team knows how to communicate ideas and things, but if you don't know how to program, then that's a big hurdle. If you're way behind the others on how to do things, then I don't think you can do much. And the only thing that you could do is, you know, managing administrative things and maybe documentations and things like that, but you won't provide a big bunch of progress to the project. And therefore, competence is actually very important. Okay, finally, we point out two most important things that you should take away from this course. And they are, number one, the beginning of what I call a software engineering culture. And this, my friends, are the good practices of a software engineer. That means design, that means modularity, cohesion, low coupling. And this all you'll learn more about in the respective courses, which are the requirements of software projects and designing of software. But that comes later on. This is just like the beginning, okay? This is the introduction to good practices and the software engineering culture. And if I were you, I would really pay attention to this one, because this is going to set you apart from a lot of people out there. So really pay close attention to that one. And the second one is learning Java. Java is a great programming language. It's used, it's actually, I don't know if it was like number three or number one or I don't know, but it was one of the most famous and frequently used programming languages around the world. So really look forward to that and be able to manage Java correctly, at least in the basic aspects of the word. Later on, you can go more in depth, but this course really tries to get you to know Java correctly so that it can be a good foundational stepping programming language point for you. Okay, following up with the second course, which is, by the way, one of the most important, if not the most important course ever for a computer scientist or a software engineer, it's the data structures course. Dun 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 dun. It's a really, 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 really important course, okay? And why? Well, because you use them all the time. It's common knowledge, however, it's not that common. It's common knowledge between us, computer scientists and software engineers, but it's not common knowledge for anyone who's learning it for the first time. It's essential, it's vital, it's used everywhere. Without them, we wouldn't have the technology we have today, as basic as possible. No advanced software can be made today without the use of data structures, okay? What are data structures? They are bodies of data. Remember, we talked about a data structure being composed of smaller data structures. So it's a body of data formed by smaller bodies of data. And with that, I mean the concept of a node. Remember what a node was? A node is basic foundation of all data structures, which is only a data structure consisting of maybe an attribute, or maybe not even an attribute, but it does have a pointer to it. And the pointer points to the next node, which creates a link between them, creates kind of a body of a bridge that can later give structure to a more advanced body. Now, how is this possible? Well, with the use of pointers, as we mentioned. And what is a pointer then? A pointer is a memory address, okay? So all of this is pretty abstract, it's pretty convoluted in the air, but it falls down into hard ground. And with that I mean it falls down into memory. It's just a bunch of memory addresses that they're linked together, okay? And that makes a data structure. However, for us, the way we understand that is by drawing these little cubes and little nodes and lists and things. But inside the computer, it's just memory addresses. It's just cells of memory that the computer then points to one of them, then refers to the other one and the other one, and that makes it, you know, move around and make it seem like it is a data structure as we know it. But it in reality is only memory addresses and playing with memory. Now, remember the example that I told you about how a linked list is possible due to the pointers that point to the next node. So a list, as we know, is just links between nodes. However, a double linked list is the same thing. However, each node also has a pointer to its previous node. So you can go back and forth. Remember the example for the Instagram post pictures. You know, you can have multiple pictures. You can go back and forth between them. And it's like a linked list. So those are data structures, okay? I want to make a small parenthesis here just to tell you guys a story. In my data structures course, I had to complete a project. The first project was this factory of cookies, okay? So we had to emulate a factory that it had to, first of all, get the resources, you know, get the materials to create cookies, then go into the first line or first batch of machines that prepared the dough, and then put on the chocolate chip cookies, and then put on the chocolate whatever, and like, you know, the toppings. So it had like a line, basically assembly line on how to create a cookie, and at the very end it had to be stored in a storage room or storage facility that we all created. So all of those were data structures. However, since it was our first project, we didn't really have, well, at least for me, I didn't have a clear vision of how data structures behaved once they were out of the compile time and into the execution time or running time. I didn't know at all. We were working on C++, and we had to do it, and we could complete the project in groups of two, which means pairs. My partner, I know he is really capable of anything techie, anything programmable. He has 100% competence. Remember, guys, from object-oriented programming, how to choose your partners correctly? He had competence through the air. Like, he knew how to do anything, and he was really capable and had a lot of time to create things and program and think. However, he wasn't really good at communicating. That's point number two, which is teamwork skills and soft skills. I really had a hard time knowing what he was doing. He didn't really communicate it to me, and I also, for my part, I wasn't present enough to be able to ask him all the time what he was doing and to update me on what he did and problems or things that we had to match up. So at the end, I just had this big, huge project logically, but we didn't have a graphical user interface. Therefore, we didn't have anything basically. And I found out about this kind of like less than a week before the due date. And as you may imagine, I pretty much panicked, and I cried a lot, and I was really stressed about the whole thing. I was like, in my mind, I was getting a zero out of all of this. I was just going to fail the course, and then I was going to be, you know, kind of sucking. But turns out that throughout all that pain and all that suffering, I learned that you gotta communicate correctly in a team, or else it is going to cost you. It's going to cost you not only time and money, but it's also going to cost you your state of mind, your mental health. Be responsible. Be responsible with yourself and with your environment, and choose the right person. Choose the right people. Become the right person for a team, as well as be responsible. Starting the first day, being on top of the project, on top of everything you've got to do, and you'll do well. You'll just do amazing, okay? Well, long story short, we didn't have a zero. We got a 40 because the teacher, he basically really liked the logics, but he didn't see anything graphically using an interface, so he pretty much gave us a 40 because of that. So, you know, it's better than zero. Thanks to that, I was able to pass later on. But I learned. After that one project, switched partners. We had a talk. I just told him how I felt, why we were, quote-unquote, breaking up, and I choose a new partner. And with this new one, he communicated everything with me. Oh my gosh, I love that. And I communicated back. And we just had this very natural and flowing conversation and data and information interchange. And it was amazing. It was beautiful. We moved. Even though he wasn't as competent, he was really good at communicating. And we could both do work at the same time. Okay, moving on to computer architectures. The technology you learn in this course won't be used as much outside of the classroom. However, it is great for learning fundamentals. And this is because the technology you use in the classrooms is usually old and basic, but it's great for learning. It's great for teaching how a certain architecture affects a programmer and his logic. So, you know, before in the 80s, you used to have this bulky, very non-friendly terminal as a computer, and you know, no graphics, no anything, and you just had to know what you could program into it with assembly language. And these are the concepts that you learn in the course. These are the things that will help you to understand how it all comes together, how to tie up the hardware with the software, and how in the most primitive of levels the computer can do amazing things for you. Because building blocks are very essential in order to master and complete advanced projects. Remember what assembly language was? Assembly language was basically mapping out of bits to bytes, however, encapsulating them into mnemonics. And mnemonics are just shortens or accotations of words. For example, ADD, meaning add, might be used to add. Might be an instruction to add to integers or to registers or whatever. That depends on the architecture. It depends on what the format is, how many bytes for the register, how many bytes for the sign, for the exponent, or wherever. Well, you know, getting into floating point numbers, that's a huge other deal, and it's very, very deep and very convoluted, but you can get into that. And it's basically getting you to know how this low-level machine can map out into mnemonics that can then later transition into a programming language that encapsulate those mnemonics into structures and then can then be used by a programmer in a high-level programming language to create awesome things like programs and web apps and stuff like that. That is how it all comes together, and that's how you, as an engineer, get to know the fundamentals and are better off than just a guy who learns, you know, programming or just learns to be a developer. You learn a bigger scope of this discipline that will help you later on to tackle problems more holistically. And last but not least, we've got Calculus for Computer Science. Calculus for Computer Science is a very interesting course because it not only encompasses the normal calculus, it also adds up the demonstrations that you learn in the mathematics, in the discrete mathematics course. But they're used for derivatives and limits and, you know, to demonstrate the concepts that you learn in the class. Now, calculus might not affect 100% directly the work that you're doing right now as a developer or that you want to do later on as a software engineer, but it does help you to understand things that you later on maybe you'll be using in linear algebra. And definitely linear algebra will be used in computer graphics. Now, if you want to get into that world of computer graphics, you will need to know a lot about math, a lot about calculus then. And I can't go into deep subjects with this because it's just calculus. However, I could give you my strongest tip for math courses, and that is study a lot for the first exams, ace them, destroy them. That's what I like to call start early, start hungry. If you do that for the last exams that are usually the more complicated and the ones that get piled up with all the projects and all the finals and all the things that are due because it's the end of the semester, then it's going to be way, way, way easier for you because you won't have a lot of pressure to get a high score on that one exam. Plus, the first exams are usually the ones that encompass the topics that are foundations and that are basic for the course, meaning that all the other topics are going to go on top of those. And if you've got a firm grasp and understanding on those foundational topics, then for the last exam, for the later exams, you'll have a lot of knowledge and a lot of miles ahead of them, meaning that you won't have to put in as much effort because you'll have firm ground understanding of what the course is about. And this goes for everything, actually, also. If you got a foundational advantage, be that in tech stuff, be that in finance, be that in anything in life, later things that are more complex and advanced are gonna be easier to understand, and they're gonna fall into place easily because you already know how everything comes together at the base level. And with that, guys, I just wanted to say that I've had a blast through this time. I really enjoy making these episodes for you guys, this podcast and all. I just really feel amazing that I could help someone else, someone that I feel that I can be in the shoes of. I just love to be able to help the people, okay? And I love to be heard. I think that I have very good ideas. I think that I have miles ahead of some people and, you know, some experience regarding college and regarding tech stuff and regarding computer science and software engineering. So I would just like to, you know, give something to people that I already went through, and maybe you'll be able to benefit from it, maybe you won't, but well, I would just love for people to be able to live better and fulfill their dreams as they see fit. Okay, guys, thank you very much for listening. I have been pleased and delighted with the second season. I'll see you guys later on the third season, God willingly, and I hope that you have a great start of a year. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.